Blog Talk Radio.
From Genesis to Revelations, you could read in the pages, and you'll see black faces, the people in the book, yeah, they look like me, change the faces of the color they took from me, made from the purest of the rich dark mud, what color will see when it was all said and done, tell me, what color would be the Israelite if he caught leprosy and his skin would turn white? Moses put his hand in his bosom and turned snow, did it again and it went back to its natural tone. King Solomon said, I'm black, but I'm comely, then what color would all of Solomon's sons be? Jesus went to a black Egypt to hide, how could that be done with blonde hair with blue eyes? Samson had seven locks, it talks about hair like wool, feet burnt like coal pot. Paul was mistaken for the Egyptian criminal, could that be possible if he had a white visual? It's not about skin color, or close to that, it's just a fact. The people of the Bible are black. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Black hats and skull caps, black suits with white strings, the only thing they ain't. The Israeli is from the land, but the Israelite is from Jacob, who was a man. They dwelt by the Caspian Sea, the Black Sea, Gentiles, before they put on the mask of me, the seed of Japheth. What the heck? How could you be a Jew when your father is Ashkenaz? They met with a Muslim bishop, an Israelite, to determine what doctrine sounded the most right. The religion of the Jews chose the Kagan. They mixed it with the doctrine of pagan. They wrote their own Talmud, many books they finished, and they tried to say Hebrew was the European Yiddish. Today, they call themselves Jews. How bizarre. Yesterday, they were barbarians known as Khazars. God, may God show. The only fake in this written in Revelation to the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, to be exact, it's undisputable. The Israelites are black. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
Who are the 12 tribes of Israel?
It's not about skin complexion. It's not about white or black or anything to that direction. Every man got flesh and bones and skin tones. The Israelites are black. I'm just making it known. The truth hurts, but there's no other way to say it. If you missed it, press stop, rewind the blade. If you understand it, come on, come on, fall in the rank. Yo, here comes the roll call. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
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 Shalom, shalom, hello, greetings, peace, whatever salutation you like. Welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Five Smooth Stones. I am Brother Seth. Another exciting topic we have before us today. I'm so glad you chose to join me among the many things you could be doing. So again, I just want to thank you for your time. I value your time. That's something back. I spend it wisely, of course. So, again, another hot topic. we have today. Again, talking about amazing biblical proof of black Jews. One-on-one is highlights today talking about music. A specific description about their culture and what, how they live and how it is proven, well, after today you'll see that it is proven to be prophetic. So, anyway, we'll get into that in a little bit, but before I do, I just want to remind everybody, as I always do this because a lot of people forget, we are located at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. 5 smooth stones. Don't forget the underscores, you'll get somebody else. Okay, so once you go to that page, there is a profile picture. Below the picture is a link to Google. And this Google link is directed to my library. It's an online library I've set up for situations just like this, where you get people sometimes wanting to know where can they learn more, where can they study more, what books are available. So I went ahead and set this up and have several, many, many authors that talk not just about this subject, but the various subjects we talk about here at 5 Smooth Stones. Okay? So you've got to check out the library if you don't do nothing else, because that way you can continue your learning, okay? If you don't already know these things, some of you already know these things, but there's a lot of books, a lot of information, okay? And also, there's a link to Facebook. You can also click on that link and see a lot of the comments and pictures. Just different things I posted on my Facebook. In my travel, I have a lot of pictures of me being in all over the world, really. And I talk about the different things I've seen. So you might want to definitely click on Facebook and check that out. And also, we have archives. Every single show we do is archived. Every single show we do is archived. So if you miss something, it's not a problem. Go back and listen. And I really, really, really recommend you listen to the previous shows, because there's so much we've talked about, especially on the subject of being Israel. Amazing biblical proof of black Jews. We go into the scriptures every single week. We pull out something we haven't mentioned before. Every single week we pull out something or several things we haven't mentioned before. So you have got to listen to every single episode if you really want to understand what Brother Seth and what millions of others, this rising tsunami of information revealing true Israel, how it's important to you. So again, please listen to the archive on this very subject. Today we're going to be talking about the same subject, but we're going to highlight today hip-hop culture and the youth. And I'm going to try, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to show that our youth is doing nothing but fulfilling prophecy. It looks like sometimes they're just doing some stuff that's just crazy out there, just wild, just unreasonable. Now, I'm not saying every single thing a youth does is prophetic. I'm saying if the vast majority of our youth does something, and it's a trend, that's the key word today, trend, many of them do it many times over and over and over. It is in the scriptures. It's prophetic. All day long. No other youth can claim that. No other youth can say whatever they do collectively as a nation
said it. If they can make that claim, they're nothing more than one of the 12 lost tribes. And every youth all over the world is not going to be one, is not going to fit this particular, these characteristics that set forth in scriptures. Okay? So we're going to talk about what are those scriptures, what are those prophecies, what does it say about what will the youth do? So what we do, let me back up a little bit. What we do on Sundays, we talk about who is Israel and why does it matter. Then what we do, we take the scriptures, and with the scriptures, we prove who is Israel by looking at how particular people, well, looking at what the scripture says, how Israel will behave. The scriptures have already told how Israel would behave, what things it would do. It already talked about it. So, folks, that's what we do. So all these things are already lined out in the scriptures as far as what Israel will do, how they will behave, what they will think, what they will not think, how they would just, I mean, it even goes into what their oppressors, where their oppressors will come from, how they will act, how they will think. It talks about how their sons would act, how they would think, how they would behave. It talks about how their daughters would act, how they would behave. It talks about how their men and women will act and behave. So if you want to know who is a true Jew, according to the Bible, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 46, where Moses says, you may want to turn in your Bibles, at least start in there. We always start with Deuteronomy 28. But in Deuteronomy 28 to 46, Moses is speaking to the authentic bloodline, the real Jews, and he tells them how their life would be forever. And he goes off into what their sons would go through, what their daughters would go through, what their men would go through, what their women would go through, even talk about the oppressors. He talk about everything as far as what Israel will go through. Well, not everything in Deuteronomy 28, but in the Bible it talks about everything, of course. But Deuteronomy 28 has a lot of prophecy that's to happen to Israel if they disobey, or if they obey, how it would be, how good they will have it, how wonderful they will have it. Okay, so if you want to know who a true Jew is or a true Israelite is or who's one of the real 12 tribes of Israel, I'm talking about bloodline, not according to religion or somebody that joined by way of religion. There is a such thing as a Jew or Israelite by religion. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about bloodline scattered Israel because the Bible talks about, the reason why it's even important is because the Bible talks about many times how the Most High is going, if not forsaken and forgotten his people, that there will be a last movement to restore Israel, and then a tiny, tiny, tiny portion of each one of those tribes, a remnant, if you will, would be obedient after they find out who they are, and a small remnant would return to Israel. Okay, so what I'm saying is, when Israel wakes up, and she will wake up, according to prophecy, everything in the Bible has to be fulfilled. We all are like pawns in a game. Everything is going to be fulfilled. If nothing else happens on this planet, the Most High Word will not fall to the ground. His word will not return void. We are just players in this big, I don't want to say the word game because it's not trivial, but in the scheme of things, the Most High is going to make sure his word is fulfilled. So that is the only reason why it has value to me, because it's important to him. And not that I'm some perfect little angel, that's not it, but I just feel like I have a calling to bring this message among other messages. One reason we call this show Five Smooth Stones, or this host Five Smooth Stones, is because I feel a calling, if you will, to this particular topic. I feel a calling, if you will, to this particular topic. And I know a lot of people will ask, where do you get the term five smooth stones? Well, five smooth stones, I mentioned this. So those of you who've heard a few times, bear with me, because some people don't know and they want to know. The reason I call the host name, I chose the host name Five Smooth Stones, is because in 1988 I asked the Most High five questions, five concerns I had, okay? And the answers to those five questions, listener, became the five topics I talk about more than any other thing. The five questions were this, not necessarily in this order. Not necessarily in this order, okay? I asked the Most High, I heard a minister say, I got something to tell you black people, but I just can't share it right now. Now, you got to know who I'm talking about. This minister has said similar things like that before, where he's always trying to tease us. This was a white gentleman, and I trusted this gentleman. And after a while, I began to understand this game played. A lot of people is not going to tell you who you are, especially if it looks like it's not benefiting them. In the end, it benefits everybody, but if it's not, a lot of white people, not all white people, okay, please, but a lot of ministers, especially with large ministries, are reluctant to tell the truth. And a lot of these people have truth because they've traveled the world, they've been very much educated, and they know some things that you and I are just coming into. But they're reluctant to tell you because it's just not going to benefit them, they think. But anyway, he said, made the comment that the black man is going to be used like never before. And the first is going to be last, and the last is going to be first. It's come by a very white, large ministry. If I call his name, all of you know who he is. He said that in 1987, and we nearly tore a convention center rejoicing because this is a man of the Most High, we felt. And a lot of, you know, a lot of ministers I listen to all types because I believe the Most High chooses all types. Okay? So anyway, make a long story short, 1988, he said the same thing. I didn't buy it because I found out that a lot of times when people don't want to give you your proper place immediately, they'll say that God or the Most High is getting ready to do something for you. He's getting ready to put you here. He's getting ready. And getting ready is nothing more than you will never get it. I call it the gospel of delay. So I prayed five questions. The questions were, Father, what is with you? Using the black man like never before, and the first is going to be last, and last is going to be first. I keep hearing people say that, more than this particular gentleman. I say, I keep hearing you people say that, and it sounds racist. I mean, why would you use the black man if the white man cry out to you, and he obey you, and he pursue you, and he love you, and he seek your word? Why would you use the black man? This, I don't buy this. It's just, and this goes for all of those of you who think that, because I teach on leprosy, and some of y'all don't understand that because you don't really listen. If you sit down and listen to it, then you will definitely understand where I'm coming from. But the subject of leprosy sounds automatically like I'm a racist. So you need really to hear what I said to the Most High. I thought that for a minister to say that the Most High is getting ready to use a black man like never before, and the first is going to be last and last is going to be first, was racist. Because I felt like, what if a white man seek you? You wouldn't use him. You're going to use a black man? It just sounded racist. So I say, what's with you doing that? Number two, again, not in no certain order, I said, Father, I want to understand the book of Revelation. I'm tired of waiting on these white ministers who I know a lot of them struggle with racism. I don't want to wait on them to tell me the book of Revelation. I want to understand the book of Revelation for myself. That was another thing I asked, okay? Another thing I said was, Father, it really doesn't matter to me what color the Messiah is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I say, personally, I believe he's blonde hair, blue eyes. That's what I've been taught. But it don't matter to me. I don't care what color he is. I still will continue to follow him. But I just want to know,
were there anybody in the Bible that resembled me? Fair question. That's what I asked, okay? That was number three. Number four was, number four, not in this order, of course, is I said, can I see the world? Can I see the world? I didn't ask to be put in the United States. These people, you know, I only see a certain kind of mindset, a certain kind of thought. Certain people rule this country, and all we ever get is what they say. Can I see other nations? That was my prayer. I'm serious. That was number four. Number five was, again, not in this order, I said, what's really going on? That might have been the first question I asked him. What is really going on? I hear people talking about the Illuminati, the one world government, secret societies. I hear people even saying things that a lot of these wars are planned years in advance. What? So I had a lot of questions. A lot of unanswered questions in regards to, you know, things I was hearing. So my question to him was, what's really going on? What's going on? Okay, my friend, it wasn't very long after I prayed that prayer. I prayed that prayer in August of 1988, and in November of the same year, a few months later, I got the privilege to start traveling all over the world. And this is where I learned a lot of the information I'm sharing, y'all. It don't mean you got to go travel to get stuff. You can just simply listen to the Holy Spirit and get quiet enough, you can hear the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about quiet noise level-wise. I'm talking about in your spirit. Again, the Bible says in 1 Peter, you have an unction from the Holy Spirit. You have an unction from the Holy Spirit, and you need not that any man should teach you. I live by that scripture. You don't need a teacher. I guess I should say the only time you'll need somebody like a pastor, teacher, and all these people, the reason why you need the so-called fivefold ministry is they bring topics to us because sometimes we just can't hear. We just can't hear. So many things going on in our life, we just can't hear. So it takes a friend or a pastor or a minister or whatever you want to call it, an evangelist, or it takes these people to bring up subjects. And then when they bring up the subject, then we start inquiring and the Holy Spirit reveal unto us this, that, or the other. And even when these ministers do give you truth, the Holy Spirit is the one inside of you that agree with it or disagree with it. So in the end, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. So make the long story short, I got five answers for those five questions. And those five answers I call five smooth songs. The reason I call them five smooth songs are they are powerful. They are very smooth. They're not rough around the edges. It's clear-cut truth. Not in any particular order. They are the teachings I do on Sunday today with who are the true Israelites. Because when I ask the Most High, were there any blacks in the Bible, not that it didn't matter, but I just asked him, he revealed to me that entire Bible, the entire Bible from Genesis to Maps is full of nappy head, woolly hair, lock-wearing, braid-wearing people. The whole Bible is full of it. The only people that is not of that type, or whenever white people appear, and this is not a slap in the face to white people, if y'all know anything about Five Smooth Songs, I call it the love show. We are not hating here at all, no fashion, no way. If white people are welcome anywhere on Blog Talk, they are welcome on my show. We are trying to bring together the planet, the righteous, I should say, the righteous, and whoever that looks like. So we ain't spreading no racism. We talking about Bible. If you disagree with the things I say, that's not a problem. Just come with Bible, and let's just exchange scriptures and verses, and let's do it in the spirit of working togetherness and patience, respecting each other, and we can go a long ways with it, okay? But anyway, he began to show me that this Bible, that's all it's full of. And that white skin came on later. People started losing the blackness or losing their pigmentation due to sin. And people start losing their hair due to sin. And people start not being able to produce children due to sin. And people start growing too tall to where their joints hurt and it's just unhealthy for them due to sin. And people didn't grow tall enough to where it hurt them. It hurts them due to sin. And people didn't live forever like they was initially supposed to due to sin. Now people don't even live to be hundreds of years anymore due to sin. We have lost a lot of our natural capabilities due to sin. And one of those characteristics or capabilities is the ability to keep your earth, your dirt, your melanin. So, my friend, that was one of the answers. That, yes, the Bible is full. Yes, there are people in the Bible that look like you. The whole Bible look like you. Not necessarily look like me, but were people of color. Now watch this. On Saturdays, yesterday, we just did a broadcast on this very subject. We call it Bible leprosy. A form of leprosy, not all the forms of leprosy, but a form of leprosy is losing pigmentation. We go into the scriptures, and we even look at science, and we allow people like Dr. Jewel Pookham to speak on the matter, and she clears it up even clearer. Because melanin is the extreme opposite of no melanin. No melanin, losing pigmentation, in whether it be in the skin or whether it be in the hair. The various colors of hair, initially all hair was black. All eye pupils was black. All skin was black. Or they didn't call it even black back then. It was just dust colored. But I'm just saying, everything comes from the color black. Okay? So anyway, I go into that particular answer I got from the Most High on Saturdays. Folks, don't judge it now. You haven't heard nothing. Don't give me a chance because I know how it sounds. I can't really get into it right now, and I'm just giving you a little sound bite, and there's no way you can say this subject and not be offensive. So I'll admonish you to listen on Saturdays. Click on the show, and you will get the revelation of your life. I fought this topic for years and years. I kept saying, man, that's racist. I kept hearing people say it, because remember I asked the Most High to show me. I was in Toronto when a brother first told me, then another brother told me in Columbus, Ohio, and I fought it, and finally I said, you know what, there it is in Scripture. My goodness. We've got lots of Scriptures to prove that point. That's on Saturday. On Sunday, we talk about the subject we're talking about today. On Tuesday, we actually interview these so-called Jews that have been scattered to the four corners of the earth, that live out Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, and most of these people are non-white. And the reason why we seek out non-white Jews is because the Bible says, first of all, Israel started out dark skin, and that's a whole other Bible study, but I can prove that real easy. That's one of the easiest things to prove, that Israel was black. They even said it in Lamentations several times. So anyway, we talk about what happened to them and how they were scattered. And we only know who they are, like I said, by looking at what Moses said, what happened to the Israelites, be it the blessings or the curses. So we look at nations of the world, people of the world, groups of the world, and see who are living out these scriptures. And we seek to interview them and talk to them. And you'd be surprised to hear some of the interviews and people talk about how they're living out those scriptures wherever they've been scattered. That's on Tuesday night. We call that the Federation, which means uniting, of international Israelites, the Federation or Uniting of International Israelites. Okay? That's a very serious show. All right? And we talk to people that actually live in Israel. Then on Thursday night is the most popular show. I'm just going through the schedule and then we'll get back to the four answers. On Thursday night is the most popular show because some of y'all don't know what 520 Stones offers, so I have to cover this. Last thing I'll mention is on Thursday we talk about the most popular show, at least of the shows I do, and that is the One World Government, the New World Order. the New World Order. Talk about Illuminati, secret societies. We're going to talk about Skull and Bones. We're going to talk about rap music in the future. We're going to talk about a lot of things that's happening in our world, behind the scenes, stuff you wouldn't believe. And, I mean, spiritual warfare, demons, angels, I mean, the real world, what's really going on. Remember I asked the Mobile, what's really going on in our world? Okay, that Thursday night is another revelation, another answer I got out of those five questions I asked them, what's really going on? What's really going on? Okay, and that is my answer. What we present on Thursday night is what's really going on. Okay, then I asked to see the world. I did get a chance to see the world. I actually have been in 24 countries. So the most high, my actual question was, I want to see other nations, and I've seen 24 nations. Okay, I asked if I could see the world, and the most high have allowed me to see 24 countries, and that's a whole nother. I'll be talking to next week if I try to explain all of the different things I experienced. So anyway, folks, that's the third thing I got. So I got to see the world. I asked, could I see the world? And then we asked, what's with you using black men like never before? What's with you using black men over white men? The reason this movement is going to be predominantly black, please listen to this. The reason why the Most High is going to use black men of black people in the end time, it's not because he's being racist. It's because white people won't value it. It just seems too much. It's too hard. They've been all their life told that they're superior, they're better, they're first, and all these things. And so it'll be hard for them to swallow or to promote, that's the word I'm looking for, to swallow, digest it, and to promote this kind of information. They're just not going to do it. It's too much for them, and it's just, it comes against their whole, I mean, in the end, they will benefit. All truth is going to benefit everybody. All truth is going to benefit everybody. But whites, I believe, will not be interested in this, as we're seeing even doing this show. They will fight it because it doesn't appear to help their people. You know, they have children, and when you hear people saying things like Moses was black, they don't want to teach that to their kids. Now, on the other hand, black people have been putting up with these images that they've spread all over the planet and didn't have a problem with it. So we don't have to really argue that we want to just prove Jesus is black, because we've actually worshiped, served, acknowledged him being white for most of our life and didn't have no trouble with it. Even right now, some of y'all, some of us so-called black people have these images hanging up in our homes. So, and in our churches, right over the baptism. Can't think of the word I'm looking for. So baptismal pool. So we've proven that truly it don't matter what color the Messiah is. So anyway, will you put this, I'm pulling up on that one, Arlene. Okay. So anyway, this is what we got going on, folks. Got going on. I have to bear with me. I'm doing like 15 things here. But anyway, we're going to jump into this with the youth. Well, let me finish the five answers. I think I got most of them. Let's see here. Okay, so we've talked about seeing the world. I got that answer. The Most High answered me there. And he also answered me, and I said, what's really going on? He answered me about the blacks in the Bible. Then, let's see, I asked him about, bear with me. Got so much in my mind. Arlene is not with me today, so it's a little bit challenging. Okay, but I think I've covered them all. But I'll think about that. If I miss some, I'll get into it a little later on. But listen, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. Okay. And while we're doing that, I'm going to
if I can bear with me here. Deuteronomy 28, everyone. And I hope everybody's doing well today. I know it's good to see Mama B again, one of our faithful listeners. Hopefully everybody got a chance to read the show description, because we're going to talk about youth and their obsession with bones. You notice if you see a lot of our youth, they have bones on everything. I mean, bones on everything. So I told you, anytime you see our youth do something and it's all of them, then it's prophetic. It's prophetic, and it's just that simple. I know people say, well, they some knuckleheads, and they not doing this, and they not doing that. I'm telling you, we Israel, and whatever we do, whatever we do, if it's done by everyone, I'm talking about not a few people doing some stupid stuff here and there, one or two people. I'm talking about when you see the vast majority of people doing something, what we call black culture. I'm talking about trends, things you see over and over and over again. It is prophetic. Okay? So, everybody got Deuteronomy 28. I want you to look at, wish I had someone to do some reading for me. Anybody in the mood to read in the chat room? But anyway, I'll incognito, I got you. Okay, so let's do this. I think what I'm going to do is revisit this later. I'll tell you what, let's do this. I want y'all to check out this song I have for you. And while we're doing it, I'm going to get some things together and see if Arlene was going to help me out today. But something just popped up and she won't be able to help us. So while we do that, I want y'all to check this song out. And then we're going to come back. Okay, so I actually got some entertainment for you. I always have a backup. You always got to have a backup when you're doing this. So check this song out and tell me what y'all think, okay?
Come on! Yeah! If you want it all back, jump to your feet right now! Oh! When the kingdom suffering violence, but the violence, take it, by force! We'll be right back.
That's right.
That's right. We want it all back, everything back, and that's what this show is about. We are reclaiming our true heritage, our true identity. Our young people is in identity crisis. Our young people is having to walk around they want to assimilate into other cultures that may not even invite them. And I mean, you got them writing Chinese on their neck. You got them acting European. You acting just various different cultures. We are, as a people, are in an identity crisis, and we know that our true identity in Christ is the ultimate. What we have inherited since Christ has come and died and shed his blood, what he has made us better off by way of having now a relationship with the Father, being able to go in and out to the Holy of Holies and commune to the Most High. Okay? So this is why that's the most important. That's the highest identity. But we can't even get the young people or some of the old people even interested in that major revelation without first letting them see that you, my friend, are from a stock or heritage or bloodline of a very spiritual people. You are Israel. So what we have got to do, and what we try to do here at this particular blog, post about 5 Smooth Stones, every single Sunday we're hitting this revelation, we're hitting this information, we're hitting this topic, talking about, well, who are the real Jews and why it matters. So if everybody were looking at your Bibles real quick, and we're going to talk about youth and very, very short. We're going to get into talking about the youth and these bones, the hip-hop culture, how it's prophetic. It's not nothing strange. It's not nothing just, yeah, I know about how we got some of them that want to make like they're in the Illuminati, but I got some news on that that's going to probably, you probably already know it, some of you may not know it, but we're going to talk about the Illuminati and Jay-Z, them and the little sign they try to throw up and all that. But for the most part, the vast majority, remember, if a few people doing something here and there, we don't even want to address that too much because that's not the bulk of our people. We're talking about today, what does the bulk of so-called African-Americans, what is what they do as a culture, as a people? Those things is what we're talking about today. Those things are prophetic, and we chop it up into different areas where these prophecies are fulfilled. They are fulfilled with our young men, which we'll talk about that today. We even talk about how it's fulfilled with our daughters. That's not today. We're going to talk about, have shows where we talk about mostly how our daughters or our young girls are fulfilling the scriptures as what the scripture says about Israel women. Now, that particular week is going to blow you away because we get into, I mean, how they walk, just the little things they say, the stretching of the neck, the proud look. I mean, it's going to trip you out. We talk about 7 women to 1 man. That week will be a week. We talk about the women, though, what our women are supposed to act like, what the prophecy says that Israel women are supposed to act like. I'm talking about when they're disobedient. The blessings are really easy. When Israel is walking in obedience, it's really easy to find out who they are because the Bible says basically everything they do is going to be blessed. They'll be a head, not the tail, above and not beneath. They'll be lenders and not borrowers. As a nation, folks, don't think about you and your household right now. We're talking about you, your household, your grandmothers or grandfathers, and then so on. We're talking about 400 years. We're looking at 400 years intervals of time slots here. We're looking at what you have done for hundreds of years, your people, I mean to say. So we're not looking at just you. And we're looking into the scriptures and seeing, because Moses said these things are going to be up on you forever. Again, Deuteronomy 28 and 46. Let's just read that real quick. Deuteronomy 28 and 46. Okay? And they, speaking of the blessings or the curses, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. Again, and they shall be upon thee for a sign, a S-I-G-N, a sign and a wonder, and unto thy seed forever. Is 2011 the end, 2011 the end of forever? No, it's not. It's very much a part of forever. So wherever Israel is at today, we can safely say that we can identify them by looking at the characteristics of Deuteronomy 28. You cannot trust this whole DNA thing that the Israelis talk about, the so-called Israelis talk about, because the DNA can be very political. You can make it to mean whatever you want it to mean. You can't go with their official definition of who a Jew is. You ask someone from Israel, Israeli, European Israeli, they will say a Jew is one who is born to a Jewish mother. Well, the next question anybody would want to ask is, how did that mother know she's Jewish? Then they'll say, well, if she was born to a Jewish mother. But we say in the Bible it's a little different because they go by the lineage of the man, or it's about the man's seed. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, we can't trust what they say. We got to go with the scriptures. When we look at the scriptures, there is a people that live out not the blessings, because no nation is living out the blessings. And we'll try to read those, but no nation live out the blessings. When you look at the curses, there is a nation, there is people that are living these scriptures out in a very scary, eerie way. Okay? And I submit to you that those people that live out these scriptures is nothing more than African Americans. And if any other people can say we live it out too, they're nothing more. And if they really can prove that, they're nothing more than one of our brothers and sisters, one of the lost tribes. When we talk about these prophecies, they affect areas like I said, sons and daughters. They affect our women. It also talks about how our men, talking about grown men, will act. It even talks about how the ministers, that the sheep, I mean the shepherds over Israel, how they would act. Our ministers, our prophets, our pastors. It even says how they would act. We hit that last week a little bit again. You've got to go back and listen to the archives, because every week we're going to focus on one of these areas. Last week it was the priests. Okay, before that, we talked about the oppressors. Now, it also talks about how the oppressor would act. The people that rule over Israel, how are they supposed to act? How are they supposed to treat them? Where will they come from? Where will these people come from that are supposed to rule over Israel? You'll see in the Bible, it says many, 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 many times, from the north country, from the north country, from the north, from the north, from the north. Folks, our lives, so-called African-American lives, if we're doing it collectively as a people, everything we do, if we're doing it collectively as a people, is prophetic. There is nothing you can say that isn't prophetic that so-called African-Americans do if everybody is doing it and if we've been doing it for a while, or in other words, it has become a trend. And I've been saying this forever. I know at least for 15 years. I used to live in Cincinnati, and I would call a radio station there, and I would say this all the time and call out ministers and call out, if anybody can prove me wrong, call in or challenge me. And I never would have got it. I never could get anybody to challenge me. Nobody never have really. I mean, that's been a few people to try. I remember one lady said, well, these young boys standing on street corners, that ain't prophetic. And that's some our young people do, and that's some a lot of them do. I mean, by the thousands. That's a trend. It's been going on for a long time. And you know what? That's in the Bible itself. And that's in Isaiah. And many of you already know this. Just bear with those that haven't heard it before. We're always getting new listeners. Always getting new listeners. So if you don't mind, listener, please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 51 and 20. Isaiah 51 and 20. And you will see how, and remember, whatever Israel, ancient Israel did in ancient times, remember Moses just said that they are going to repeat their behavior. Israel is going to repeat whatever curses. Moses said, and they will be upon you forever. These curses is going to be upon you forever. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking right now, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. And in my church, we don't like that word curse. We don't say we curse. We say we blessed, and highly favored. All right? I want y'all to understand this. Please understand what I'm about to say. If you are living, if you and your household is living right, that's a big if for all of us. if we're living right and doing the things we're supposed to do, you're absolutely right. We are blessed and highly favored, our household. But this Bible study today is talking about not your household, but a nation, your nation that you belong to. Just like, you know, when Israel were going through its most horrible times, when they was in rebellion like they are today, when they was in captivity, there still were people that was blessed. Y'all know your Bible. There was all kind of people that was experiencing blessings and miracles when they was in captivity. It's the same as today. You can be blessed, you and your household, if you fear the Most High, seek His face with all your heart. That's for any of us, okay? But we're talking about your nation. That is the only time Christ cried. Christ actually wept when he saw how Israel was fearful. He was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew he could do it. It was no sweat to him. But he looked at all of his brethren, brothers and sisters that was fearful. They didn't have the ability to raise the dead. And they was fearful and sad. And he just looked at their state and their doubting state, and it hurt his heart. If he went through that, you will go through the same thing. You will weep. Okay? So we talk about all these areas where prophecies are affected. Like I said, we talk about sons and daughters, women and men, talk about the priests, the oppressed. We even talk about the land. It even talks about the land of our captivity, what it's going to be like. This is another week of study. We'll talk about this in the future. The characteristics of America, what it was supposed to be like, or wherever we were supposed to be taken to, our Egypt, as we're about to read. And last, we talk about, well, next to last, we talk about general characteristics, just things like the scripture says, you will sigh. That means something you will say out of frustration. It can be the S word. It can be the what other words you might say out of frustration. Oh, man, gosh. Whatever people say when they're totally at their wit's end out of frustration, that's sighing. Scripture says that Israel would sigh, S-I-G-H. Then last but not least, we talk about the restoration, the solution, how the Most High will restore Israel, and that's when we get into, we're going to get into that a little bit today. We're going to talk about these bones. Why are young people so obsessed with bones? We're going to get into that. Y'all just bear with me. I know that's our main topic, and we're definitely going to get into it, but I just want to, some things I got to cover every single week, because the scriptures are so powerful, like this one we're about to turn to. Deuteronomy 28, back to Deuteronomy 28, and let's look at verse 68. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 68. Okay? Now, this is what it says. And the Lord shall bring thee, talking about the nation, a nation. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again. Wait a minute. How can the Most High bring the people of Israel into Egypt again? Well, here we go. With ships. And the Lord shall bring thee in Egypt again with ships. And for all my Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters out there, you wondering why? Because a lot of y'all don't say the word Lord anymore, or G-O-D, God anymore. This class is for everybody. And there are a lot of people that don't understand the Hebrew word for Lord and the Hebrew word for God. So on Sundays, I keep it simple because I'm trying to reach other folks. If you know, you know. Good for you. But this is 101, where we want people to feel comfortable so they know we're talking about not thinking about another God. Some people is just that not knowing, okay? All right, and the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. Well, you don't need ships to take you from Egypt to Israel because both of the lands are landlocked. It just don't make sense. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies. And there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. One translation say no man shall rescue you. Another translation says, buy your freedom back. Again, thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold in this Egypt. There ye shall be sold unto your enemies, to bond men and bond women, and no man shall buy you. Folks, ask yourself this question. When was the people that live in Israel today ever put in ships and taken to Egypt? It didn't happen. Ask yourself this question. When were the people in Israel ever put in any kind of ship? It never happened. But there is the people that were put in ships, a nation of people. While I'm on this, I got some profound I want to share with y'all. You got to write this down because y'all will not believe this. Write this down. Something called the Treaty of Utrecht. I think that's what you pronounce it, Utrecht. Let me spell that. U as in uncle, T-R-E-C-H-T. The Treaty of Utrecht. U-T-R-E-C-H-T. This was a treaty signed in 1713, which basically said it gave the authority to transport 144,000 slaves within a 30-year period. I'm going to say that again because some of y'all is looking up at the sky like, what did he just say? This was a treaty signed in 1713. The Treaty of Utrecht, or however you pronounce that, that authorized 144,000 slaves to be taken from Africa into parts of the United States and then some went to Spain. The point I brought that up is, why the number 144,000, as many of you know, in the book of Revelation, which that was the last thing, I knew that was something I couldn't think of. The book of Revelation talks about 144,000 Israelites returning with the Messiah. 144,000 Israelites returning with the Messiah. I just thought it was odd that they picked that number, 144,000. I'm telling you, you can't take these things for granted. You can't say, oh, that's just coincidental. You can't do that, okay? But like I did say earlier, I prayed a prayer. I asked the Most High 5 questions. That was one of them, to understand the book of Revelation. And that is another thing he gave me. I started reading the book of Revelation. It started coming open to me, coming open to me. I started seeing things that I didn't see before prior to me having prayed that. So the Most High have honored my prayers, those 5 questions, and have answered them. And those answers have translated into this thing we call 5 new songs, okay? So let's look at some other scriptures talking about Moses and him saying that certain things is going to be upon Israel forever, and then we're going to jump into this whole culture of hip-hop, this obsession with bones. So anyway, people, check this out. Look at this. Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at verse number 30. I'm going to jump around Deuteronomy 28 because I want to hit certain verses, and these verses we hit every single week because they're just so clear. Verse 30 says, remember, Moses is talking to a nation full of men, a nation full of women, and a nation full of children. Upon the mountain, he is telling them what is going to happen to them forever. Verse 30 says, thou shalt betroth a wife. This is when they're in rebellion. We're talking about the curses because nobody's living out the blessing. The blessings is only 14 verses. Okay, it's basically saying, in a nutshell, everything you touch is going to be blessed. You'll be a head, not to tell a lender, not a borrower. Most churches preach this day and night. I'm not even taking time to read it because most of y'all know about the blessings. But the curses, nobody reads. That's why we're putting all our emphasis on reading about the curses. Again, the blessings, no nation can claim it. No group of people can claim it. All right? No nation within a nation can claim it. Nobody is living out Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Japan, China, even nations within nations again. All right, verse 30 says, thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Let me read that again. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. In other words, he is saying, all of you thousands of men, you're going to have wives, but another man is going to live with her. And he's not just talking to the people he's looking at with his eyes. He says, the things that I'm telling you right now in verse 46, we read that earlier, he said, the things I'm telling you is going to be upon you forever. So he can't be talking to just them because they're not going to live forever. So he's telling them to pass this stuff down between their youth. This was something Israel was supposed to do. Pass this down and tell your youth, this is what y'all going to go do if y'all disobey. This is what y'all going to do if y'all obey. And you're supposed to keep passing that down. That will encourage Israel to obey. Because if you will look at verse, quickly turn over to Deuteronomy 29 and verse 15, it says, verse 14, it says, neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. Moses said, I'm not just talking to y'all. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth, but with him that standeth here, hold on. But with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. So Moses basically is saying, I'm not just talking to y'all, I'm talking to people that's going to come after y'all. So let's keep on looking at this, and then we're going to get into this culture. Okay, of hip-hop and bones, obsession with bones. All right, so let's look at verse number 40. Well, let's finish talking about verse number 30. So here is this man saying that y'all are going to have wives, but another nation is going to lay with her. That happened in slavery. Matter of fact, that happened so much that most of us don't even have our African culture that we had when they brought us over on slave ships. We've all been mixed so heavy. All right? So that scripture, have the people in Israel went through that? Were they mixed, or were they just been putting gas others? And I don't want to belittle the people in Israel or disrespect them in no way. Again, this is a love show. We love everybody, and we're seeking this truth. Scripturally, I disagree. They are who they say they are, but also the Holocaust. The Holocaust, as horrible as it was, you should not wish that upon your enemy. That was a horrible, horrific thing they went through. But it is nowhere in the 66 books. There's nowhere in this Bible. So we got to go through what Moses said. We got to look at what Moses said Israel would go through and see who lives it out. Okay? And later on, I'm going to explain to you why all of this is important. Y'all got to stay with me. Be patient with me. All right? We got a lot to cover in a very short period of time. Now, look at this real quick. Verse number 64 says, and the Lord shall scatter thee, talking about Israel, among all nations. So Israelites are the true people of Israel, or the true Jew, has been scattered all among all people. Well, let me just stop right there and just say this real quick. If Israel has been scattered among all people, and 92% of the world today is non-white, according to the United Nations, 92% of the world is non-white, then our world pretty much is non-white. So if Israel has been scattered to all lands, and most lands are people of color, that means Israel today should be a people of color. This is another reason we have trouble with the lily white European Jew. Again, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there shalt thou serve other gods, other Elohim, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. All of the gods we have today, all of this worship of cars and all these toys we own, houses, I call them toys, they're all made of wood and stone. Listen to verse 65. And among these nations thou shalt find no ease. And among these nations, again, earlier, where you've been scattered, you will find no ease. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there. But the Lord shall give thee there. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Who shall give it to you? The devil? No. the Most High, because we belong to him. Amos 3:2 says, of all the nations of the earth, you have I known, therefore I will punish you for all your transgressions. Again, I'm showing you different prophecies that when Moses said these things is going to be upon Israel. How do you know a true Israelite? You look for these particular prophecies upon wherever Israel is. Now watch this, verse 37, quickly. Okay, let's look at verse 36. I think that's interesting too. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee to a nation which neither nor thy father have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, again, of wood and stone. Now, he said he was going to put a people over you that you didn't know nor your fathers. Israel then knew everybody. What people is this that the Most High was going to set over them that Israel didn't know? They knew everybody. I'm telling you, the Europeans were not known in ancient times. Europe is a baby nation. As glorious as we've been brainwashed to think it is, you keep going back in history and European history disappears. Europe hasn't always had white people. And when they finally did get white people, there was all of the nations already formed. India was already in existence. Africa for sure. So they didn't know about these people. Watch me. Verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. You shall become an astonishment. That means people look at you and they're astonished at what you're going through. A proverb, they'll look at you and they'll make a wise statement. Something to the effect of, you know, if you want to hide something from black people, put it in the book. That's a proverb, a true proverb, unfortunately. And a byword. A byword is a word that somebody will say when they see you. It could be derogatory or not. Okay? Verse 38. No, that's fine, but I'll just read it anyway. It says, and thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. It don't mean necessarily the locust. It just means that you just won't be able to enjoy the works of your hand. Thou shalt plant a vineyard and dress them, but thou shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Again, not talking about worms, but something is going to enjoy with the work of your hands other than you. Now, folks, there are 68 verses in this chapter. I'm not going to read all of them because we got a lot of things to cover. I tell everybody every week, please read Deuteronomy 28. And remember, when you're reading these things and talk about things like your ass or your ox or your farm or when you gather grapes, y'all, we don't do that today. But our foreparents have done that. You got to look at our generation of people 400 years at a time. When you do that, anybody that want to say they're Israel have to do that. You got to look at your generations of people. We've lived out this if we look at it like that. You can't look at the fact that you don't own an ox. No, it's not just something. Our lives are very short. But this is what's going to happen to the nation of Israel. Okay? But let's keep reading a few more things. Let's talk about how the young men will not father their children. How about that one? I told you anything we go through as a nation is in this book. Here it's going to talk about our good men leaving their children. Let's read verse 54. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil towards his brother and towards the wife of his bosom and towards the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. It's saying that a nation of men that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be even a tender and delicate. Those were characteristics to describe good men, okay? His eye shall be evil towards his brother and towards the wife of his bosom and towards the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. Here's why. Verse 55. so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat. He's not going to eat his children. You'll find out a little later on, eat means just to take their stuff. Use it for yourself. Something that's supposed to go towards the kids and you're using it for yourself. That's all the word eat means. That's all it means. It's not that complicated. Eat just means to take their stuff. Take what belongs to them. It's just that simple, folks. Because he has nothing left him in the siege. See? He has nothing left him in the battle. I just said that. That's why it don't mean eat a person. It just means he needed a lot. And so there was a battle going on. And he took what was belonging to the kids. And then he didn't take care of them. Again, because he has nothing left him in the siege, which means battle. And in the straitness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. You got to understand this old ancient kind of talk. Gates don't mean just gates. Like we, gates mean your areas of life. Medical, taking care of your children, you know, food. I mean, just whatever areas of life there is. That's all gates mean. Again, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. Okay, now let's talk about the woman. What's she going to be like? And again, we're reading prophecies, things that are supposed to happen to Israel, how they're supposed to behave. Verse 56, the tender and delicate woman among you, which should not adventure to set the sole of her feet upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil towards her husband, and her bosom, and towards her son, and towards her daughter. And some of y'all saying, that ain't our people. That ain't our people. We don't act like that. Really think about what you're saying. People that don't like you ain't going to come out and say they don't like you. You never tell your kids that. But look at their behavior. How many times do we say, go in there and watch TV, knowing we're supposed to be spending time with them? How many times? I mean, really and truly, are all women. I'm not dogging out all black women now. Don't y'all think I'm on that yet. But what I'm saying is there is a trend among our women that this does fit. Verse 47. Again, not all for sure. So it says, and toward her young one that cometh from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear. For she shall eat them. I told you this don't mean eat like food. Watch this. I mean take what's theirs. For she shall take what's theirs for want of all things secretly in the siege. And straightness wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. In other words, the enemy is going to put so much pressure upon these women that they're going to take from their own children, take from things that they need. This is prophesied to be upon a whole nation if they are in disobedience. And this, my friend, is the state of a lot of our women. Again, even a lot of our so-called good women. Look real close. Are you sure? And I love, before I say anything else, Arlene is not with us today, but I was going to, you know, she was here, I was going to let her vouch that I have no hatred in my heart towards our people, especially our women. I love black women. But what I'm saying is, this is something that I mean, how could the men turn out the way they are if that the black women wasn't doing that? Because the men are absent of the families are absent of men. That's another whole prophecy that's in these same chapters. It's either in Deuteronomy 28 or Leviticus 26 and various parts of the scriptures where it says they cried out to the Most High and said, how long will we go through this? Maybe I'll get a chance to read that. He said, until your houses be led by women. Did y'all get that? Until your houses be led by women. And then in Nahum 3 and I think 10, it says that those that are in the midst of you are women, In other words, y'all just got a bunch of women leading y'all. Nahum 3:13. Those in the midst of you are women. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open. In other words, the areas of your life, of your family, I told you gates means various areas of your life. Scripture just says in Nahum 3:13, behold, the people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open. Folks, I hope y'all are hearing me today. It says, wide open unto thy enemies. The fire shall fire thy bars. I'm going to say it one more time. Nahum 3:13. Behold, the people in the midst of thee are women. And this is filling right up to us talking about these young boys here in a second. The gate of, it says, behold, the people in the midst of thee are women. The gate of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. The fire shall divide thy bars. There is a fire, meaning something is going to cause a breakdown of your life or of your family structure. Again, y'all, don't think of bars like bars. This is how they talked in ancient times. When they say gates, they just mean every area of your life. So we read like this. Behold, the women in the midst of thee are women. Every area of thy life shall be set wide open unto thy enemies. And when it says the fire shall devour thy bars, it just means the enemy shall devour your family. That's all that scripture is saying. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me, please. Listen to this. Verse 41. Deuteronomy 28, verse 41. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. What? Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them. But thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And there is lots of scriptures talking about the sons going into captivity. Now, some people might say, well, I'm listening to your show today, and I don't feel my son is going into captivity. Again, every single son in the nation of Israel is not going to go into captivity. It's just talking about as a nation, your sons are going to go into captivity. There are over 1 million black men locked up right now. And for a nation that's almost around 43 million, something like that, I'm telling you, folks, that is a lot of people. So that's what it means when you're saying, I don't mean every single son, but I will say this. There are a lot of us, a lot of you mothers out there, you've been beating up on yourself because you've done what you know to be right, and yet your son went off to prison, and yet your son is in captivity. Again, we suffer this as a nation. As a nation, this is going to set somebody free. I know. We suffer as a nation. A lot of times, it's not so much what you did, it's what your village did. It takes a village or a nation to raise people. No single parent or no any, I don't care if you have a mom and a dad and both of them strong as I don't know what. If you have a weak link of your village is weak, or if your village is falling down, or as the scripture just says, the bars is broken down, or the gates are down, where the fires have burned up, just as we just read. In other words, the enemy is all inside of your children's life. Nobody got your back. You don't have relatives that got your back. That's strong. You don't have neighbors that's got your back. That's strong. You don't have just a village. Like the African proverbs, it takes the village to raise them on. If your village is not strong, your child can make decisions based upon people that's inside that village and go straight to prison. I mean, I'm serious. And I think that's what's happening. There's a lot of mothers out there, like, they don't get it. They're like, listen, the Bible says I didn't spare the rod. I didn't spare the rod. I didn't spoil my child. I mean, he couldn't get what he wanted, but then you got these cell phones, you got the internet, and it's very hard to parent these days because we got so many things that's pulling at these kids. So this is why in ancient times they didn't even have all of these distractions. I really don't think we're raising our kids. I mean, I know some of y'all are really great moms and dads, and you probably are, but I'm saying to you, I honestly don't believe that we have the kind of control over our people like we think. I just don't think we do. So All I'm saying to you is we really got to make sure that if we don't have that village, that we import it. That means you sometimes have to just grab your child, take him into another environment. You have to grab your child and take him into another, probably sometimes country. I mean, if it takes that, another state, another city, a whole other side of town, because a lot of what's happening to our kids is not the parents' fault, because the parent really can't parent them because of the way we live. We're working two or three jobs. Remember, what we're doing today is completely different than what they did in ancient times, so we really can't beat ourselves up. Hopefully that sets somebody free. All right? So, thank you, Victor to Victoria. So anyway, that is one of the things I want to just share real quick. Moving right along. Let's see how much time we got. Okay, now let's talk about these boys. Let's talk about these boys in this so-called bone culture. Now, if you look at the show's description, I've got various young men on there, and folks, we gotta get this hatred out of our system towards our people. That's the first thing I want to say. We gotta quit thinking something is wrong. I mean, that they are like aliens, and like I just said, it ain't you raising them. I mean, if you're raising your kids and you got complete control of them, that's very rare. But it's remember when we was coming up. Let me just make the thing very practical. Remember when we was coming up, when I say we, I'm 50 years old. Those that's 50 around maybe now, I say 45 on up. You remember when you got in trouble, there was more than one person you had to answer to. That was a strong village. We don't have that now. Things have changed. TV is raising your children. Cell phone, you can't even communicate with your kid without that head being down, them looking in their lap. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Our children is being raised by an alien society. You are. That's why it really, really, some of us need to really, really rethink this whole cell phone thing. Okay? So, here we got these young men. They're walking around. Everything these young men do, I'm talking about when you see lots of them do it, is nothing more than cultured Israel. Let's go to Isaiah. I don't think we read it. We went there, but for some reason I didn't read it. I don't think I did. 51 and 20. Listen to this scripture. I didn't read it. I went to it, but I didn't read it. Think about our young men and listen to this scripture. This is an old scripture. This scripture is thousands of years old. This is a problem they have with their young men. Isaiah is a prophet, and he's telling Israel the state of their young men. Listen to this, and remember, whatever Israel goes through when they're in rebellion, or if they're obedient, they're going to repeat it forever. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. As a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury, or fear me, anger. They are full of the anger of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. When I first read this scripture, I was just floored. One more time. Maria, just the way it says it. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets. As a wild bull in a net, they are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Watch this with me, folks. Watch this. Let's break this down. Thy sons, that means he's talking about thousands, if not millions, of young boys. Isaiah is just telling them the state of their young men. Thy sons have fainted. Fainted means they're not moving much. I mean, it's like not moving much. They just listen. Now, fainted can't mean they just laying down like we think fainted means, because he calls them a bull. A bull is one of the strongest animals on the planet. But it can't be just docile, laying like they're unconscious, because, again, he calls them wild. A wild bull is something to see, folks. You can't just tame a wild bull. But there is this net. Something is blocking their movement, stopping them from going so far. And what in the world is the head of a street? I've never had somebody get this wrong in all my 15 years of asking this question. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the street. What is the head of a street? Of course, it's a corner. So let's read it modern day vernacular. Thou sons is fainted in the mind. Lying at the corner, if they lie at the head of the corner, that just means that they're not going nowhere. Lie means you're going to stay there for a while. So if you read like this, thy son have fainted in the mind. They lie or hang out at the corner. And they're wild, and they're being caught up in this net. They are full, this is the best part of it, they are full of anger. I'm about to talk about this anger and this culture called hip-hop and this genre of music called rap that is just, as you know it today, is just full of angry young men. As a matter of fact, if you don't sound angry, that's the best rap seem like to sell the most, when you're angry and you're cursing, you know. Folks, there's nothing that we do as a people that is not in this book. Let's look at these bones. Why is these young men so obsessed with bones? Look at the description. Let's look at the picture that I set up. Y'all got a computer. Look at the description picture. Look at this. My goodness. So we got, it's popular to wear bones on your caps. It's popular to wear bones on your shirt. It's popular to wear bones on your shoes. It's popular to wear bones anywhere. But who told them to start putting bones? This is where your prophecy mind got to kick in, folks. Y'all got to have to step it up a notch. This is where you got to really think, but not just with the natural mind. Think, what? Whenever we do something as a culture, we are fulfilling prophecies. And whoever said, okay, let's start wearing bones. I want everybody to turn in your Bibles, and y'all know I'm going here. Ezekiel 37. Leave your computer on the description page where it's showing all the bones. And I want you to, as I read this, I want you to look at those pictures and think about this. So the first photo we got is well, I guess it's just rolling, so there's not a prison. But you got rappers like Lazy Bone. You got a rapper called Crazy Bone. You got a rapper called Bone Crusher. You got a rappers, plural, called Bones, Thugs, and Harmony. Bones, Thugs, and Harmony. You got Bones Brigante. I'm saying that right. Bones Brigante. You got Busy Bones. You got a collaboration effort that was made called Bone Brothers. I didn't even look at all of them. I just took a few of them. But watch this. This obsession with bones. Now listen to Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them round about. And behold, there were very many what? Bones in the open valley. and lo, they were very dry. Very dry what? Very dry bones. So there was very many bones, and there was very dry bones. And he said, talking about the Lord, Son of Man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. Prophesy unto these bones. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, here we go, I will cause breath to enter into you. And ye shall live. Verse 6. And I will lay sinews, upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin. And put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Let me read that again. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. Come on, stay with me, folks. A noise and a shaking. What in the world does that mean? A noise and a shaking. I've heard lots of people say that's what we're going through. The noise has begun, the shaking has begun. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. There was no breath in them. We're talking about bones, but yet there was no breath in them. My goodness, my goodness. I got to read that one again. That does something to me. Y'all got to get in the spirit with this, man. Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in these bones. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain. Uh-oh, that's what happened to them. They were slain, that they may live, or they was dead, dry bone dead. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. An exceeding great army. So let's not complain about the fact that the bones, these young people wearing these bones, is prophetic. Those of us that are familiar with Deuteronomy 37 should be looking at this and saying, our kids is talking to us and they don't even know it. They're saying, I'm bones. I'm dry. I'm empty. I'm bones. I'm dry. I'm empty. Look at the page I put up with the pictures and just follow me. And get the spirit of what I'm saying. I'm bone. I'm dry. And I'm empty. I'm fragmented. There are very many. The scripture says, after there was the beating, they got beat down first. From four winds came and began to beat on the bones. The words were beat, B-E-A-T. But they began to be an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, this is what they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. This is what they say again. Listen, this is what the bones say themselves. Our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people. My people, he just said they was basically dry. There was a lot of them. They were scattered. And they was even in a valley. So they wasn't nowhere. They wasn't nobody. And they wasn't about nothing. But then he said, say, O my people, I will open up your graves. So they was dead. And cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Again, like I said at the beginning of the show, a remnant will return. Not all of Israel, because some of us will laugh at the idea of even thinking about returning back to Israel, even though we know we're Israel. Again, he said, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. So they wasn't in their own land. They were scattered throughout the four corners. Some of y'all saying, well, I ain't no Israelite. I'm an American. Now, these people were scattered throughout the four corners of the earth and every nation of the earth. And the Most High said he's going to put them in their land. How come the Most High didn't call their land where they was? If you are calling yourself a Christian or a believer or a follower of the Most High, you've got to start lining your mouth up. This is all of us. As far as what the scriptures is saying, you are not an American if you are an Israelite. You're an Israelite scattered into America. You're in exile. That is the proper term you should use. My people are in exile. You are not. Yeah, we're speaking by virtue of blood, and we died in the wars, and we pay taxes and all this stuff. Our people have. But all I'm saying is, technically, spiritually, I mean the real deal, I mean real, as one friend say, for real, you are Israel. You've been exiled. That's what you should say. You are in exile. Your parents were forced into exile. You really belong to Israel. A remnant of us will return. Verse 14 again, and ye shall put my spirit, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So the bones is prophetic, folks. Even if something was somehow, I heard one minister, and I don't think he minded me calling his name, but Bishop. A bishop in Cincinnati. But he was talking about this subject, and he was saying, you watch these young boys as a culture. He said, watch everything you do, even with this, the whole thing of wearing white T-shirts. Now, somebody said the purpose of the white tees is so they can all look uniform. But he broke it down even further and talked about how the Most High had commanded us that we're never was to mix fabric, and that these white tees are all cotton, and that they really have, it's almost like they're dressed like a priestly order. This guy is deep, man. Bishop Campbell in Cincinnati. But he was breaking this down, this culture down. And when you get to really look at it, now I know what they're doing. They're doing some foolishness. Again, they're very dry. You can't expect righteous lyrics out of people that are very dry. I can't even think, I can't even believe that I'm defending these people as much as I can't stand rap, and I can't stand the pants pulled down, and I can't stand on the corners, and I can't stand most of them. I can't stand the spitting, and I can't, y'all want to get me started. I just cannot stand this culture. But this culture is a culture of judgment. You ain't supposed to be able to stand it. Because if you could stand it, you never will even think about doing nothing about it. It's supposed to get to us. Don't it get to you? I know it does. Folks, our young people are fulfilling prophecy. Our old people are fulfilling prophecy. Our women are fulfilling prophecy. Our men is fulfilling prophecy in everything they do, whatever they're doing collectively as a nation. I'm not talking about some woman going to put a son, put a baby in the microwave. That's one person. I'm talking about something huge that we all do collectively over and over and over again, setting these trends. Any trends going on with so-called African-Americans in the Bible, our life is nothing more than Hebraic culture. What we've been taught from children from childhood about the Jews and what Israel culture is and their bar mitzvahs and their this and their Hebrew, their this, all that stuff ain't nowhere in the Bible. What they do, they kind of find out what the Bible says, then they go try to do it. We're it without even knowing it. Our young boys don't even know anything about no bones. They couldn't even tell you about the Valley of the Dry Bones, some of them. We got people that are doing things, just like when they say, that even when they talk sometimes, like they say, you know, man, you played me. Oh, you trying to play me, dog. You know, David said a long time ago that I played the harlot. And I mean, I'm talking about, and I really didn't purpose this whole blog today to be on the youth. But I want to go into this really deep and talk about stuff they say, things they do, what they like to do, they pass signs. I mean, I can break down the whole culture. Isaiah 42 and 22, I believe it says, talking about Israel again. Isaiah got their number. He said, blood touches blood. What do you think that means? Blood touches blood. They're killing each other. Or another phrase, modern-day term, that would be black-on-black crime. Scripture said, again, I mentioned that they talked about your houses should be led by women. Okay? So I'm just saying there is a lot of things that our young boys are going through. And we look at it, and we think none of it. There's one scripture I'm trying to think where this says, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them ensnared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are prey, and none delivered for spoil, and none says restored. That's the scripture I had wrote down here. But basically what I'm saying, folks, is our people in the whole bone culture, if you just watch our people, they'll do something. When you see new trends and a lot of people are doing it, just look for it in the scriptures. We're fulfilling it. We're fulfilling it. Now, let me say this about this culture. I believe, on a good note, that the people that the Most High is going to use, because a lot of us is, you know, we're going to die. Let's just face it. I mean, y'all know, I know y'all don't want to think about that, but we're not going to live forever. And I don't see us fulfilling 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, if my people, which are called on my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their land. I really don't see Israel, and I'm quoting it all fast, but I really don't see us as a people turning to the Most High anytime soon. So how is Israel going to be restored when we are not going to turn to him as according to 2 Chronicles 7:14? The Bible also talks about how Israel, the oppressors, the Most High said a lot of things about the people that's going to oppress Israel. And that's another thing. We looked at that last week. Certain things the oppressors are going to do, everything they do to us is in the Bible. Anything relating to Israel, like I said earlier, is in the Bible. So it even talks about how the oppressors, the people put over us, how they would act. But anyway, the scripture talks about how that when these people start to boast and feel like they're doing this to us and we're under their control and nobody has not even peeped at their little hand, the Most High is going to restore Israel because of his covenant with Father Abraham. Are y'all listening? With Father Abraham, he was going to restore us as a people. So Second Chronicles 7:14 is one way, but then there's another way where the Most High said, after the enemy starts to boast, that he would remember his covenant with Abraham and would rescue us. And I'm trying to see if I can find out where that's found at. But anyway, just trying to find what I just said. I like to, every time I say something, I want to give y'all scriptures because I don't want y'all to think I just make stuff up. But we talked about last week how the enemy was oppressed with his policy. I don't really want to go back into the enemy, but let me just give you the scripture since I have it up here. But some of the scriptures we talked about last week was Habakkuk 1:7, how that the enemy shall, his dignity and judgment shall proceed of himself. In other words, he redefined things as he goes. Everybody else, every other nation will redefine themselves based upon how people live. Like we today, we judge ourselves based upon what the world, you know, by the morals of the world. It's what most people judge themselves based upon somebody other than them. But these people, the dignity and their judgment come out of them own self. They discover things as they go along. They might run up on a country that's discovered, and they'll say, we discovered it. They just rewrite history as they want. They don't underestimate Habakkuk 1:7. Again, dignity and judgment shall proceed from themselves. That is a powerful, powerful verse. Okay? And then Isaiah 51, and I don't want to get off into last week's stuff, y'all. Bear with me. I'm not going to give y'all some. Deuteronomy 32:28 talks about the void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. That is a strong verse. But the people that rule over Israel, they are void of counsel, and there is no understanding in them. That's the Most High said that I didn't. I'd get in trouble for saying that one. And then the scripture says here, surely our fathers, I love this, I'm so glad I ran into this one, even though we're not talking about this right now, but I got to share this with you. Listen to this scripture. Surely our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, vanity, and things of which there is no profit. Oh, my goodness. Surely our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, vanities, and things of which there is no profit. That verse, every time I read this, put me just, this is the oppressor in the latter days. They're talking about their own culture. The people that rule over Israel is going to say this about their own heritage. Listen to this verse. This is Jeremiah 16:19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge, in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanities, and things wherein there is no profit. Good night. I don't know if that hit you like it hit me. I have to remember, everybody don't feel like I feel about things. But this is basically saying that the culture of the people that rule over us, they don't have nothing. And I'm not talking about everybody European, because that's who's ruling over us right now. I'm talking about everybody, because everybody's not wealthy and powerful enough to rule. But the people that rule over us, the scripture said, you read all of Jeremiah 16, our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, that things wherein there is no profit. That's the scripture for the day right there. So, anyway, back to these young boys. Folks, we've got to really, really be wise when we're looking at our people and understand that all of what they're going through, all of what they're going through, and I hear your TB blakeney, which you said several things here, but I hear you on that last one, on all of them, really. But anyway, all I'm saying is we got to understand that we've lost control of our people, our young boys. And I cannot stand their culture. I'm telling you, y'all just don't know. I have to pray sometimes, even deal with them, to share some of the things we're talking about right now, because this is what they need to know. This message right here is what they need to know. And so I do try to my best to get out and share, but it's really hard because it's just so hard to stomach what they be doing. But remember, they're full of this anger, the anger that they're full of. The Bible calls the fury of the Lord, the fury of Yahweh. Come on, folks. It's the Most High allowing this to happen. It's like the Most High's anger, and he's making us feel comfortable. And don't say he won't do nothing like that, because he's done it. To allow them to be like that just to piss us off, it's like a sin anger. Think about this. Why come these young people can pull a gun on a pastor? Or how can they rob a church? Y'all know, if you're 45 years old, or maybe even 40 and older, you know that's impossible for us, our generation, to rob a church. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care if you was a crackhead. You weren't going to rob no church. You had enough wherewithal not to go to no church, and especially rob a minister. The truth of the matter is the Most High is angry with these people. I'm talking about the ministers. We talked about that. Actually, we talked about the ministers last week, too. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Somebody said, he was talking to victims of Victorious. He said, used to work in prisons every visitation day, saw brothers kissing girls, but at night they were doing things in the cell block. When they get released, they take the virus back to their girlfriends and wife. I observed it for 20 years. Again, nothing is new under the sun. The only thing I say to that, and when you are oppressed, that's just a part of that culture, the prison system. So anyway, all I want to say is just, folks, let's really, really be encouraged by the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. It said to us what we're supposed to do, those of us that have the light. You're walking in the light. What you're supposed to do is prophesy unto those dry bones. Y'all get that? Don't get religious on me and just say, oh, that was a good little blog. We have a job to do here. Said to the Son of Man, prophesy to those dry bones. And then what he was supposed to say to them, he said in verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves. Tell them, Most High said he is going to open your graves and cause you to come up out of your grave. No, I don't see it happen to us, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing going to happen to us. Nigga ain't looking out for us. Ain't nobody looking. When they start talking like that, you just got to say, the Most High said to tell you, oh, my people, he called you, my brother, my sister, my people. I will open your graves. He is going to open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Bringing into the land of Israel can be twofold. It can be bringing you into the natural land, and it can also just be bringing you into a state of mine for you to turn back to your culture. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Young brother, young sister, you're going to know that he is the Lord. When he opens your grave, when he pulls you out and you see how bad you have it right now, and when you come up out of it, you're going to know it was him. Oh, my people, and brought you up out of your grave. Okay, and then verse 14 says, okay, then that's when we went up in the spirit. So anyway, folks, this is our message we have to our brothers and sisters. We got to let them know that what they're going through is very temporary. It's very temporary, okay? I'm not going to go over like I normally go. I've been going over, making this show 2.5 hours and all that. I'm going to end with this song. I want y'all to check this song out. But, folks, these bones are nothing more than judgment. I mean, our people have been in a state of judgment. That's why they were become bones. But, again, if we prophesy to them, stay true to what we're saying, not just be religious, our people will rise again. And I mean that. I'm talking about, but I'm chewing on this Ezekiel 37 myself. So let me just encourage everybody to just read that again to yourself in your own time, okay? So anyway, here you go. I'm going to go ahead and bow out. Shalom, everybody. So again, let's take it back. Let's take it all back. This is our culture, folks. Let's take it back. Let's claim our culture, all right? This is our culture, the Hebraic way. And to my white brothers and sisters, all I say to you is you need to push the same truth just like you did when you thought the people over in Israel today were the real Jews. Push this truth. Fund this cause. Shalom, everyone.
Come on! Yeah! If you want it all back, jump to your feet right now! Ow! For the kingdom suffering violence, but the violence, take it, by force!
Man.